in 1 John. Wonderful book. It's written to Christians, so that's its focus. And as you'll see, it's just got so much for us as God's children. So we'll start by reading the first five verses of 1 John, and then we'll talk about the book itself as a whole, and then we'll dive into those five verses and see what God has for us tonight. So beginning there in chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John, the Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd give us your wisdom and presence as we look into your precious word tonight, as we focus on this passage. Lord, we know there's something here for us. So we open our hearts to you now and give you this service. May you be glorified and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to take my title there from verse 3, "Declare we unto you." And but first, let's talk about the book. Of all the books in the Bible, this is the only book that the most prevalent word is the word love. Isn't that something? 46 times in this book of just five chapters, love or loveth or loving or loved shows up in this little book. So that is the key word of the book. The second most important word is the word know or knowledge. So John wrote this epistle. Of course, he wrote the Gospel of John as well. He wrote the second and third epistle. He wrote this epistle primarily to give us the assurance of our salvation and to reveal to us that God loves us and how that love should affect our lives. Chapter 2 is primarily about Jesus being the advocate, and then about the warnings of the world, about the world. Then chapters 3 and 4 is primarily about the love of God, as we'll see. A little bit about false teachers there in the beginning of chapter 4. And then the key verse would probably be chapter 5, 13. So let's look at that. Everybody should memorize this verse, because when you witness to somebody, you can share with them why God wrote the Bible. And this verse says that beautifully. Notice it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So John wrote this epistle. God wrote his word so that we could know that we have eternal life. That's wonderful. We don't have to hope so or wonder if we have eternal life. We can know it based on the word of God. And that is a beautiful truth. So let's go to our passage this evening. And John here is talking about things that we are to declare. But first he introduces us to life. Firstly, we see there in verse 1, the word of life. And he says in verse 2, "For the life was manifested." Then he says in verse 2, "Show unto you that eternal life." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ. He's saying, "I want to reveal him to you through this epistle, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says in verse 1 that Jesus, or the word of life, was from the beginning. So he's revealing to us right in the first verse that Jesus Christ is God, and he always has been. You probably are already thinking, oh, he did the same thing in his gospel as well. First verse of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in his epistle and in his gospel, the first thing he does is introduce Jesus Christ as the Word who's always been. The Word that is eternal, as we see here, from the beginning. And, of course, when Jesus Christ returns, we read that in Revelation 19, the Bible says his name shall be called the Word of God. So Jesus Christ is being revealed in this book, in this chapter, as the Word of life. And then he puts in parentheses there in verse 2, for the life was manifested. So Jesus has always been. He is the Word. He is God. But here he talks about his manifestation, which is talking about his incarnation, that he came to earth, became a man, and of course, that God's love was then manifested at Calvary. Notice he says, the life was manifested and we have seen it. Now John here, is, when he says we, he's talking about him and the disciples. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Who's that eternal life? That's Jesus. And by the way, if you look in chapter 5, verse 20, he finishes the epistle the way he started it, by revealing eternal life as a person. Notice chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So he's saying Jesus doesn't only give eternal life, Jesus is eternal life. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he doesn't just give life, he is life. And we also read in 1 John 5:11, this is the record, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the life, Jesus Christ, the Word of life, was manifested to man as a man 2,000 years ago. And we're told that in 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says, God was manifest in the flesh. So God became a man and was manifested to the world through Jesus Christ's appearance and life. If you go to 1 John 3, verse 5, we'll see that word manifested again here. It says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And then look at chapter 4, verse 9. Which says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So John is introducing Jesus, the Word of life, eternal life, and saying that he has been manifested to the world through his appearance, through his incarnation, and that God manifested the payment for sin and his love at Calvary. And so John says, after laying all that groundwork, verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. He says, I'm here to declare Jesus, declare his appearance, declare his incarnation, declare that he is life, declare that he's always been the Word of God, that he's eternal, that he's God, and to declare that he came for us. That he came, as we said, as we saw there in 1 John 4:9, that God's love was manifested at Calvary. He says, this we declare. That's why we're here. To declare Jesus. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll see this, where the Bible makes it very clear. One of the main reasons we are left here after we get saved is to do this very thing, and that is declare the Word of life, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. That he is the one that possesses and gives eternal life. Notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. He is... Oh, that's Ephesians. Sorry. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. We just read in John, 1 John 1:1, Jesus Christ is the Word of life. So God says we are to be holding forth, we're to be taking the Word of life to the world. And John says, we're declaring him unto you. Me and the disciples, he says, we actually bore witness with our own eyes. We actually spent time with him. We are declaring him unto you. And of course, God wants us to do the same. When we get, you know, Romans chapter 10, most of us know verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Great verse. But the next verse says, well, how should they call on him in whom they have not heard? Or sorry, how shall they believe on him who have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's us. God has sent us. Jesus says, I have ordained you. I've sent you. I want you to go into all the world and declare Jesus Christ to the world. He is the life. He is the way. And go back to our passage. So John says, I'm declaring the word of life, the eternal word of God, Jesus Christ, the one who can give eternal life and is eternal life. I want to declare him to you, and I want you to declare him to the world. And then he says in verse 3, that ye may also may have fellowship with us. You're going to see a lot of that in this book. What John is saying is that when we are close to God, when we're doing what God wants us to do, we are in fellowship, pure fellowship, one with another and with Jesus Christ. And we'll see more of that when we get to verse 7 next week, where he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. God wants this to be a group effort, getting the gospel to the world. We are a family. We are a body. And he says, we have fellowship. Notice he says, with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Because we have salvation, we can now fellowship with Almighty God. But we also fellowship with one another. Because we're all in this together and we all have the same mission. And that's to declare Jesus Christ. And if you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, when Jesus was praying for his disciples and for us here in John 17, right before he went to Gethsemane. Look what he prayed here in John 17, 21. He said, that they all may be one. Well, who is this? He's talking about everybody who gets saved, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We're one. We're one in Jesus Christ. We're all part of his body. So we are one. We have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Son. And it means we have fellowship one with another. We have received the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to declare Jesus Christ. And notice the result in verse 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God's will is that we be full of joy. How can we not be full of joy if we have eternal life? Think about it. We have everything. We have Jesus. We have a mansion in heaven. We have his presence. We have his word. So John is saying, I'm writing this book so that you can know that you have eternal life, so that you can understand the love of God was manifested at Calvary, and that he is love. So you can understand who Jesus is. He's eternal life. And when you understand and know those things, your joy should be full. And that's what he says. Your joy should be full. As we have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and one another, full joy. Go to John chapter 15, where Jesus again talks about this joy that we're to have, that should be full. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So again, notice what Jesus is saying. These things have I spoken. Same connection here between the truths of God's word and the joy that should be in our hearts. You see, that's why he said in John 16:11, your joy no man taketh from you, because our joy is not based, shouldn't be based on our circumstances. It should be based on what's true. And what is true is we are Christians going to heaven. We have Jesus. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's saying, I've told you all these great things. Now your joy should be full. Because again, your joy shouldn't be based on life, because life never gives us what we expect, and it's up and down and full of trials and heartaches and everything else, but that should have nothing to do with our joy. Our joy should be based on this book, the truths of God's Word. And that's what John's telling us, that your joy may be full. These things write we unto you. Jesus said, these things I speak unto you, which of course is the Word of God, that you might have joy. That's why Paul was able to write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. How could he do that? Because it has nothing to do with prison. It has to do with where our standing in Christ, all that we have in Him. That doesn't change. The devil can't take that away. The world can't take that away. That's settled. And so what we're going to find, the underlying theme of John, of 1 John, is this word know, or knowledge. He's writing this book so we can know some great truths. And knowing those great truths should result in us being the kind of Christians God wants us to be. It goes back to knowledge. Remember when we finished 2 Peter? Grow in what? Grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more that we know, the more it affects us. For good. More joy. Like we talked on Sunday. More peace. More love. The more that we know. So John wrote the book so we could know. God loves us. God cares about us. Jesus Christ gave us eternal life. All these things can't be changed by the devil, praise God. Our joy should be full. So these things, he says, declare we unto you. We are to be declaring Jesus, the Word of life, to a lost and dying world. And filled with joy as we go. Amen? Let's pray.